Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Lord, we come before you today just in awe of who you are, Christ the victor. And to the Lamb upon the throne be blessing, honor, glory, and power for the battle you have won. Hallelujah. We ask that you fill this place with your spirit. Bless Brother Cal as he preaches and teaches from the Word of God, and open our hearts so that we may be transformed by it and in tune with you, Lord. It is in your precious name that we pray, and all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you're here today. We are, as you can see, we're observing communion this morning. The Lord's Supper is what Baptists call it. But we're gonna do that here in a few minutes. And what Brother Andrew and I try to do every time we have we build the service around the Lord's table, and with the songs and the prayer time and that kind of thing. Now we've done a little extra things about praying over these Operation Christmas Child boxes this morning, but we want to focus in on using for a sermon title, When I See the Blood, this morning. And we're going to be talking about, we're going to try to do our best to bridge the cultural gap between what happened in Egypt 3,500 years ago and what we're celebrating here today. So if you have a copy of God's Word, we are in Exodus chapter 12. It's a real easy book to find. It's the second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter 12, and I want to start reading there at verse 3, and I'll read down through verse 7. And when you find that, we want to honor God's Word as best we can by standing to our feet. All right. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, that's 4 days. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, but ask God that you would open the scriptures to our hearts here this morning, and that we might get a glimpse of just exactly what you did for us. Thank you, Lord, that you have set us free. I thank you so much for Jesus, who is our Passover lamb. It's in his powerful and precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You know, I grew up old school, and we grew up, how many of y'all love the blood songs? A lot of you do. How many of you know the blood songs? All right. I want to tell you, we need to keep singing about the blood. A lot of denominations have kind of taken the blood songs out of their worship because it's offensive to some people, you know, and people don't want to hear about a bloody religion and a bloody Savior. Even some preachers have quit preaching on the blood. And we don't really share about the blood like we used to. But I came here to tell you today, Second Mile, the blood of Jesus is central to our faith. It is central to our faith. And we better keep singing about the blood. We better keep preaching about the blood. And we better keep sharing the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what we're going to attempt to do, if we can get a little help from the Holy Ghost this morning, that makes some of you Baptists real nervous whenever I say Holy Ghost, but that's his name. And so we're going to attempt to go back 3,500 years this morning to the land of Egypt. Okay? And God's people, as you well know, were living in bondage. They were slaves in Egypt. For 400 years, they'd been in bondage. They'd been slaves to Pharaoh. And but God had heard their cries, and he raised up a deliverer, a rescuer by the name of Moses. Yes, very good. So y'all are following, you're tracking with me. That's good. And so the Israelites, now, when Moses came to Pharaoh and said, it's time that you let God's people go. Well, his heart began to grow harder and harder and harder. And the scriptures tell us that God had to send some plagues upon Egypt. Not just one or two, but 10 of them. And the last plague that Moses announced to Pharaoh was the death plague. And this death angel would come over all of Egypt on Passover night. And any house, any home, any family that was not covered by the blood of a Passover lamb, their firstborn would die. And Moses told Pharaoh about this, but Pharaoh didn't believe it. And you know what? People still don't believe it today. But every firstborn son in Egypt died that night. But did you know not one single solitary death took place among the Jewish people? Why is that? Because they were covered by the blood. And that's what we want to talk about this morning for just a few minutes before we sit down at the Lord's table together. I want to say several things. If you've got your outline, you can follow along with it. It's real easy, real simple outline this morning. Number one, a perfect lamb had to be chosen. Moses had given the instructions. 2 million Jews were about to be set free on Passover evening. The next morning, 2 million Israelites were going to leave. God would send his death angel over the land of Egypt, and the firstborn son of any family and the firstborn animal, we tend to leave that out, who was not covered by the blood of the lamb would die. But this lamb was to be a very special lamb, and Moses gave the instructions to the people, and he said, every head of each family needs to select a perfect lamb. It had to be a yearling. It could be a sheep or a goat. But it had to be a yearling. And it had to be a male. And it couldn't have any defect. No spots, no blemishes, no scars. Had to be perfect in every way. And they were supposed to put this lamb that was chosen up in a pen for how many days? 4 days. And what was going on those 4 days? They were examining those Passover lambs that were penned up for 4 days to make sure that they weren't sick, to make sure that they didn't have any kind of disease. And so this lamb that was chosen had to be a special lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb in every single way. Now, y'all know where I'm going with that, don't you? We'll get to that in just a minute. But every Jewish family chose a perfect lamb. Secondly, a perfect lamb had to be killed. Once the lamb was chosen, put up in the pen to make sure that it was perfect in every way, that lamb had to be killed. Watch this. Look at verse 6. Let's read it again. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Now jump on over to verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. Now this little lamb was to be killed, this perfect lamb, once it was chosen and everything, you know, it lived up to the requirements that the Passover lamb was supposed to meet, was killed at what time? At twilight. Now, think about this. Little lambs are so precious, aren't they? Can you hear all those lambs bleeding? Not B-L-E-E-D-I-N-G, but B-L-E-A-T-I-N-G. And at twilight, all of those lambs were sacrificed. They were killed. They were slain. Why is that? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Let me read a little verse of Scripture to you. Over here in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says this. Listen to this. Watch this. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar. Why? To make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the souls. And so, all the way back to Adam and Eve, in order for sins to be covered, in order for sins to be forgiven, you had to have a blood sacrifice. Why? Because the life is in the blood. Did you know scientists are still trying to come up and trying to create some blood, but they can't do it? Because Jesus is the creator, amen? And if you're living, you've got some blood flowing through you. And so a blood sacrifice has always been the way. And did you notice this? It says that all of Israel was responsible for the killing of these innocent lambs. All of Israel. Now, we'll go here in just a minute. I'm not just ready to jump on that just yet. But all of Israel was responsible for the slaying of these innocent lambs. So a perfect lamb had to be chosen, had to be just right, had to be spotless, no blemishes, no stains, no scars, couldn't be no sickness, no disease, no broken bones, limbs, anything like that. And once it was chosen, it was examined for 4 days, and then at twilight, on Passover evening, that lamb was slain. That little yearling was slain. Which leads me to say this. The blood of the perfect lamb had to be applied. Look at verse 7. Exodus 12. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Now jump over the next page to verse 22. Watch this. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the 2 doorposts with the blood that's in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. And so once the lamb was slain, the head of the family would drain the blood down into a basin. Okay? And then the head of the family would take a hyssop plant. Now, a hyssop plant was simply a bushy, kind of spongy-like plant. And he would take that hyssop plant and plunge it down into the basin of blood, take it outdoors, and then he would apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintel, that we might call it the threshold. Okay? Y'all with me so far? And when the blood was applied by faith in the word of God, the family would be saved later that night when the death angel came over. And that night, sure enough, the death angel came just like Moses said he was going to. And he passed over Egypt. And God saw all the blood that had been applied to those Jewish homes, those Jewish thresholds. They had applied that blood by faith in the word of God. And the death angel passed over because they were covered by the blood. Don't miss that truth. However, every Egyptian family, from the lowest Egyptian in prison all the way to Pharaoh's palace, every firstborn that night in Egypt died because they were not covered by the blood. Death swept over Egypt. And the next morning, bright and early, 2 million Israelites were set free. And I've said all of that to say this. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God. Turn with me to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 1 and verse 29. Now we talked some about John the Baptist in the last few days. John the Baptist had been preaching along the banks of the Dead Sea, and he'd been baptizing up in Bethabara, which is just beyond the Jordan River. We've been there where John was baptizing. Verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, lean in, watch this, don't miss this, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That Passover lamb, or all of those Passover lambs in Egypt, were a foreshadowing of God's great lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He met all the requirements to be the Lamb of God. He passed every test. How many of you know that? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who made him who knew no sin to be sin, for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 says, "He committed no sin." 1 John 3, 5 says that there was no sin in him. He is the perfect, sinless, thrice holy Lamb of God. Perfect in every way. I love my sister Susan. But bless God, she's got the same problem I've got. She's from the Hampton family. And the Hampton family are sinners by birth and by choice. Now, I love Susan, and she's probably a better person than I am. But you know what? She couldn't take care of my sin issue because she's just like I am. And I couldn't take care of her sin issue because I'm just like she is. We needed a sinless Savior. Are y'all getting this? We needed somebody who was without sin. And that's who Jesus is. He came and lived a perfect, sinless life, never tempted to sin in every way that we're tempted in, and yet never did sin. Hallelujah. He's the perfect Lamb of God. He was able to become our substitute, our punishment. He was God's precious lamb. He was God's perfect lamb. And so I want you to go back with me now, 2,000 years ago. The Lord Jesus was put to death on the cross from 9 to 3. By the way, at 3 o'clock is about the time when Jesus died and he gave up his life. Nobody took it from him. And that was about the same time those temple lambs were being sacrificed. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And Isaiah tells us that Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. He was bleeding profusely from the head, that crown of thorns, and blood was flowing from his ears and his nose and his mouth. Blood was streaming from those wounds in his hands and his feet and his lacerated back. There's probably a pool beginning to gather of blood down at the foot of the cross. And by the way, there is no debate today who it is that put Jesus on that cross. It was our sin. Our sin put him on the cross. And because the Lamb of God took my place and took your place, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. A cry went up all over Egypt early that morning. Death had come to all of Egypt. And you know what? Times haven't changed. We still live in a culture of death. It's all around us. Hospitals, nursing homes, funeral homes, cemeteries, all remind us I've done more funerals than I ever want to do here lately. Risa, we love you. But can I just tell you, death is right here. We never know. I was talking to Jeff Burkhardt, our state representative, former city councilman, former fireman, graduated from Northwest High School. I was talking to him in the parking lot of First Baptist Church Thursday evening after an appreciation banquet. And we got to talking about his mom. Jeff had just buried his mom last Saturday. And we got to talking about that, and I just expressed to him how sorry I was, and I knew how he felt because I had to say bye to my mom 3 years ago. And so we got to talking and stuff, and anyways, you know, people were about to leave, and so I went and got in my truck, said bye to Jeff, and just a few hours later, Jeff died from a massive heart attack. You never, never know. The death angel is still flying today. Anytime. We've all got an appointment. I don't want to scare y'all, but I want to be truthful with you. Anytime any one of us could step out into eternity. And if you step out into eternity and your sins are not covered by the blood of Jesus, you're going to pay for your sins for all of eternity in a place that the Bible calls hell. That makes me want to weep. I don't enjoy telling folks that. But you got to love people enough to give them the absolute truth. And heaven is not our default destination, although probably 85 to 90% of folks think everybody's going to heaven. Only those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to make it. The only way you can be delivered from death is by applying the blood of Jesus to your life. How do I do that? It's real simple. You got to be willing to repent, to forsake your sin, to turn from your sin, and by faith, give your life to Jesus Christ. Surrender to Him as the Lord of your life. I'm not talking about fire insurance. I'm talking about lordship salvation. And turn to Him as the Lord of your life, surrendering control of your life to Him. And He will save you. And that's how Jesus applies the blood. And then He credits our account with His righteousness. Hallelujah. I don't know where you are, but His death, burial, and resurrection have to be appropriated by repentance and faith. Our Passover lamb provided the sacrifice for us to be saved from sin and death. Wouldn't you receive Him today before we sit down here at His table as your Lord and Savior? Would you pray with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. This is just between you and the Lord. If you are not absolutely sure that the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life and your sins have been not only covered but washed away by the blood, if you're not absolutely sure about this situation, this thing we call salvation, we want to help you. We want to share the Word of God with you. But the first step is yours. You've got to take that step. We can't take it for you. You can't do it for anybody else but you. And we want to ask you to just quietly and simply get up out of your seat, and we'll lead you in prayer, what we call the sinner's prayer. And God will be listening and watching. He'll be in tune and in touch with your heart and know if you mean what you're saying. And Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And if you'll come to Jesus today just as you are, he'll receive you. But you've got to take that step. Our war room is open. That's our prayer room. If you don't want to come to an old-fashioned altar and have our counselors receive you and pray over you, you can head back there to the war room, to the prayer room. And you can do what needs to be done. We'll get some materials in your hands to help you get started right in your new life with Christ. And may I say to the rest of you who are saved, you better be sure that all your sins have been repented of and confessed. Not just confessed, but repented of before you sit down here at this communion table with the Lord. Father, this is your time. Do what you need to do. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand quietly. Andrew's going to lead us. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.